When all is ready, I throw this switch.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Collected Edition Comic Book Podcast, where we discuss the famous and infamous runs and story arcs throughout the history of comics. I am Paul Matthew Carr, and with me, as always, Mr. Brian Rees.
Ho, ho, ho. Happy holidays, everybody.
No. Don't. That's too early.
Oh.
Next time is our happy holidays.
Well, yes, but it is. We're in the holidays.
Oh, I suppose so.
I mean, we're in between. Like, I can give some actual, I can give some extra hoeing.
Extra hoeing.
I can hoe more next week.
Okay. Anyway, welcome, everybody. Here we are on the program again. So today on the program, we'll be discussing James Robinson's The Scarlet Witch, also known as the Wanda Maximoff Redemption Tour. So in previous episodes, we have discussed the TV series Agatha All Along, but we never discussed the last two episodes. So it finished off at the time of this recording a couple weeks back now. And as it does pertain to this particular story that we're going to be discussing.
Rather directly,
which is shocking why I chose it. But first of all, I mean, we were discussing before we started that it's actually been a couple of weeks since we saw it. So what are your distant memories of the last two episodes?
Some people died.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you that maybe I just wasn't picking up on the clues. I did not think that. Okay. Again, everybody, spoilers. So this ended the same way that WandaVision did, in a similar way that Billy had created the entire thing.
Right.
Because he's Wanda's offspring, and he had created the entire Witch's Road. Yes. Using stuff that, you know, in a very usable suspects way.
Right.
He created a whole story of things that were in his room. I did not see that coming. As it was being revealed, I just started going, oh, well, that's just so damned obvious now. But I liked that. I liked the fact that, you know, and I have gone back, not watched the entire series again, but just watched a couple of scenes like from the beginning. And you can see the way Agatha reacts, like when the road becomes real, you can see the shock and like, oh, my God, because you find out that she made it up. Yeah, the Witch's Road isn't real. It's just a story that she herself created. And then when it's real, you can see her shock on her face going, OK, we're back to this again. No, it's very clever, and everything was revealed to you throughout the story. Anyway, I found it to be very, very cleverly written. One of the best Marvel shows of recent memory.
Yeah, and I think we talked about the time that we talked previously that it's kind of the perfect timing. It is correct that this show came out at the time it did, within between October and the Winter Solstice. They kept it in the can correctly to release at the time that it came out.
Yeah, in spooky season.
Yes.
Basically the story wraps up with Agatha, you know, sacrificing herself. But then it gives you that beautiful little coda with her and her son. And I don't know, really well done.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. It's one of the better ones. Is it? There have been some that have been great, right? You know, I mean, obviously WandaVision is sort of the pinnacle for many people. Loki has been great. But then Agatha All Along has been right up there with those. Some of the other Marvel ones have been okay.
Like, you know, you have your mid-range stuff like Falcon Winter Soldier, which was very entertaining and fun.
It advanced some Marvel Universe stuff.
Yeah.
That will, I think, come into play here with some of the upcoming.
She-Hulk would be the same kind of thing, where that was just a lot of fun. We'll see if that impacts anything. And then you have, Secret Invasion, which
was terrible.
There was some, I could pick out some good moments in it. I'm not going to be completely down on it, but, but yeah, it had issues.
Yeah.
Shall we say?
Hawkeye was fine.
Exactly.
Again, introducing some, it felt like some of these were just all about introducing ideas that will come to fruition later, which is what the MCU is doing. But some of these series feel like they existed just, could they have been a special?
They're also introducing characters like Ms. Marvel.
Right.
You know, and that's, she's, that was so much fun, that series.
Ms. Marvel was one of my favorites, which of course everybody hates.
It seemed
All Along and WandaVision and Loki feel like They are their own pieces.
I see. I have some thoughts on that because they each of these shows has introduced a younger version, so a young Avenger, basically,
Right.
with Agatha now being a ghost, and you have Billy fully embracing being Wiccan. We now,
About to
well,
go on in a search for his brother.
and his brother and also his mother. So I don't know if you've ever read the story Children's Crusade with Wiccan and Speed going off to find Wanda and
I
their
have
help.
not.
Okay, it's a great, maybe I should have recommended that one, but it's a great story about them going off to find Wanda after the whole M-Day, No More Mutants thing, and finding her and bringing her back to being a hero. And I just it seems to me as I was watching it, I was like, oh, I wonder if they're setting that up because Wanda was sort of done dirty in Doctor Strange.
And I think there were a lot of people hoping that Wanda would make an appearance in Agatha.
I'm kind of glad she didn't though, because
But
then,
it's fine.
yeah.
It's fine that she didn't.
It sets it up for another storyline. Anyway, good series. And maybe we'll talk about some of the parallels when we get into the comic today.
Yeah, because there's a lot. And but it also kind of talking about this and then talking about what James Gunn is doing currently, which is leading into our next topic.
Look at you with the segue. Wow,
Yeah. But
fantastic.
it's kind of a perfect segue because, right, we're heading to Creature Commandos.
Exactly. So, Creature Commandos has just recently dropped. There's three episodes. I will admit I've only seen two.
Which
You
is going to be problematic because the third is big.
don't have to. I mean, if you feel like spoiling it, you can. I do not care about such things.
We have a character death,
Oh.
so I can stop now.
So, as long as it's not Weasel, everything's fine.
We assume, of course, because this is James Gunn, because this is Creature Commandos, this is a Amanda Waller led, like the Suicide Squad. And here's where some criticism comes into play. You know, at some point we need James Gunn to move away from Amanda Waller, and we need him to move away from Suicide Squad teams, which Creature Commandos is very kind of like Suicide Squad.
It's exactly like it, and Peacemaker for that matter,
Yes,
in a
and
similar
Peacemaker.
vein.
And so, like, these are all fun. Creature Commandos is great. People thought Invincible was violent. Just wait, especially with episode three.
Have to admit, I was a little, when I first started watching it, I was kind of like, oh, what are you guys doing with this? And I just thought it was a little shaky at first, but it didn't take long before I realized, oh, I get what you're doing, Mr. Gunn. And I was fully on board.
Yeah. And I appreciate what he is building, but at the same time, we have three kind of series that he's doing that are really good and have a lot of great character and have a lot of interesting things going on and do all tie into each other.
Yes, I like the fact that they made mention of the Suicide Squad. Everything ties into each other.
But it's going to be hard. Like, so these are really good and there's a lot of great character and you know, again, and there's sexy time. We actually have boobs. Honest to goodness, cartoon boobs. Which,
I mean, what more could you ask for?
as folks who grew up, people who were young lads growing up in the 70s and 80s, and then suddenly discovering more adult comics, and how exciting was it when Vertigo, or you discovered some of the smaller press things in the 80s? This is before we discovered Robert Crumb and underground comics, 60s underground comics, when we got our first view of boobs. And we were all young Beavis and Buttheads. We were. Beavis and Butthead exist for a reason because they existed in real life and continue to.
I have nothing to add to that,
But like Creature Commandos is it's adult.
Oh yeah, it's definitely adult. You can say the whole DC universe is hentai'd together.
Is heading to But no, I mean it's hard to talk about it without talking about the third episode.
Again, you can if you want to. You're not spoiling anything for me.
Okay. The primary character in the third episode is GI Robot.
Gastrointestinal robot.
And what we get is a lot of backstory. You know what we get? We get Sergeant Rock and Easy Company
Oh, that's awesome.
as primary characters in the third episode in flashback. Sergeant Rock and Easy Company are now part of DC lore in the DC film universe.
Which James Gunn likes to do.
Right.
I don't know if I saw an interview with him, and he was asked directly, what is canon and what isn't canon. And he said, Everything is canon until it isn't anymore. And I'd love that answer. Yeah, and he laughed and said, "I don't know if anyone knows this, but this is all made up. We can do anything we want to." And I was like, "Oh, well, gosh, I really like you, James Gunn." So here's my thought, though. We talked about, Suicide Squad, Peacemaker, this Creature Commandos is all sort of very similar with Amanda Waller, and you have the more paramilitary version of these characters.
Right.
But this is a world where superheroes all exist, but Superman doesn't. So everything's sort of more violent. I have a feeling that when James Gunn's Superman movie comes out, that's when things will shift, where
Yes.
you get more of the hopeful, less violent stuff.
Yeah, I'm trusting James Gunn.
Me too.
We could be proven wrong, but right now I'm trusting James Gunn. I think he is giving us sort of the fun, wacky stuff right now to draw folks in and to say this is not the Snyderverse anymore.
Right.
The Snyder bronies are having a lot of sads, and that's okay because they should, because they're Snyder bronies and they should be sad. Oh,
Oh, wait, I have to respond. Comments are coming in already. There they are.
I think will be interesting to see. This isn't dark and gritty. It's very violent, but it's bright and shiny violent.
Yes, and there's a
Dark
lot of
and
fun, and
gritty.
there's a lot of there's jokes, and it's fun,
Yeah.
which I like.
But Creature Commandos, the first three episodes are just great. Again, is it serious stuff? No, it's vastly entertaining and super violent. We're only three episodes in, so things could go south quickly.
I don't see that
So
happening.
far, so good.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I have been enjoying, well, I've enjoyed what I've seen so far. Also, listeners, if you go to our website, collectditionpodcast.com, I have created on the homepage a flashback section, which I will be putting up some of our older episodes as they feel relevant. And right now, in our flashback episode, we have our Creature Commandos episode. So listen to our take on the comic side of things.
Nice.
Yeah. It's almost like I'm tying in. It's run by a very special algorithm that I have created, which is whatever I feel like doing. That's how things used to be done, old school. But no, yeah, I've been enjoying this. We'll see where it goes from here. Like you said, I trust James Gunn's. I trust his decision-making process.
I trust him till I don't.
Yes, there you go. He's the greatest until he's not anymore.
Exactly.
Yes, that's how entertainment works. All right. Well, I think we've exhausted those topics. We've discussed them completely. There's no more we can do. So let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the Scarlet Witch.
Sounds good. And we're back. Paul, you have recommended the Scarlet Witch. Would you like to tell us about the Scarlet Witch?
Well, indeed. It's a common refrain to tell someone to let go of the past, to put the past behind you and look towards the future. But the past is often impossible to ignore and so easy to get trapped in. The future is theoretical, ethereal. It hasn't happened yet, so it's hard to envision. The past, however, with its myriad of loss, filled with wrongs done to you and mistakes you yourself have made, is real and tangible. It is a living, breathing place for you to dwell, a place to revisit the hurt and trauma time and time again, so often that it seems that that's all you will ever be. It feels sometimes that to escape the past, it would take some kind of superhuman effort or some kind of magic. The character of Wanda Maximoff, the Scarlet Witch, has a confusing, convoluted, and confounding history. She's been a villain, a hero, a villain, a hero, a world-destroying villain, and a hero again. She's been a wife and mother, then not a wife and mother. Her children were real, then not real, then real again. Her parents were unknown. Her parents were superheroes. Her parents were Romani. Her parents were mutants. Her parents were a different set of Romani. Her powers are natural. Her powers are created. Her powers are a mutation. Her powers are part of a lineage, and on and on and on. Wanda Maximoff was whatever the writers needed her to be at the moment, and the one consistent thing the writers needed her to be across all the conflicting stories involving the Scarlet Witch is a victim. So in 2015, James Robinson penned the solo title for The Scarlet Witch that set out to make some sense of this jumble of a history and to remove and repair some of the unfortunate legacy surrounding the character. Part of the all-new, all-different initiative, this 15-issue story arc is a globe-trotting adventure where Wanda travels from the US to Europe to Asia and back again to solve the mystery of why magic is broken. And along the way, she discovers her true origins and reconciles with what she believed herself to be in the past with who she is today. With the help of a rotating roster of artists, Robinson does an incredible job of re-envisioning and redefining the character of Wanda Maximoff, keeping parts of her backstory that work and jettisoning those that don't. All the while rooting her firmly in magic and giving her power a clear definition. And that's important because Wanda is magic and magic is broken. And Wanda seeks to find the answers to why magic is broken and how to repair it. A clear metaphor for her own past and the trauma she has endured. And to escape her past, Wanda does not put it behind her or forget that it happened. Rather, she acknowledges it. She embraces it. And she confronts those who did her wrong and the wrong she has done to others, and she forgives. She forgives those who have hurt her, and she forgives herself. And that is the magic that allows her to move forward. Brian? What do you think of The Scarlet Witch by James Robinson?
It's gorgeous.
Isn't it a pretty book?
It's a very pretty book. From the covers by David Aja to each individual artist, who I believe, and someone could correct me if I'm wrong, I didn't do my research on everything, but I believe the artists are native to the areas in which they're doing the art for. Yes. So, you know, I would, just as a quick caveat, not caveat, that's not the right word, just as a quick observation, how is Doctor Strange not even remotely a cameo in this? I'm just going to leave that hanging there.
Well, it comes up later, but I think this was specific. I read this at the time, by the way. Running at this time was the story arc of Doctor Strange dealing with magic being broken. So right. They were connected, and they do come together, but I think this story was
me trying to insert a man into a woman's story,
right? And I think this was specifically about Wanda Maximoff and how, because previous to this, she was done dirty by a lot of writers,
yes,
and a lot of story arcs, and this was kind of pulling her back and making her the hero that she should be, and as I said, rooting her in magic. None of this, it's a mutation hex power that comes from the high evolution. No, she's a witch and she has magic. And I like that.
Yeah. And it establishes a lineage of magic residing within her. I actually really appreciate that this is pulling her out of just out of being a mutant. And it definitely gives a deeper historical context to her powers. I believe that the comic largely succeeds in finally just establishing that.
Yes, I agree. And also, if I add a very feminine lineage to this
right.
as well.
Yes, I mean, and that's one of the great things about this is it is so strongly rooted. I mean, in the end, we get the perfect toil, boil, and bubble.
Yes.
We witches three, the crone, the
mother, maiden, crone,
yeah. and the mother, which should have been the end result with this. And so I think Robinson does a really good job throughout 15 issues of working to that. I know I've just got us to the end. And so yeah. Thank you for stopping by, everybody.
yeah, I think a lot of this, we will skim the surface because each issue is standalone, but it also ties into the greater story. But a lot of it
is essential. Not everyone works necessarily the best, even though every single one is amazing to look at. So the creation, the reimagining of her as the feminine magic force is just well done. And it's James Robinson, who can be hit and miss, but this is kind of in his wheelhouse
Yeah, I agree. I think he did a.
in terms of his strengths as a writer.
I agree. I think he did a fantastic job with this. I remember it, and again, I re read this at the time, and I was every month just going, "Oh, wow, this is incredible." I was all on board for the all new, all different run at the time. Which, if people don't remember, way back in 2015, which is 10 years ago, Brian.
Yeah, just about 10 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, Secret Wars had just happened. All the characters were being reimagined as different versions or legacy characters.
And nothing was ever going to be the same again
Yes, I know. And
until halfway through the arc when Civil War II happened.
yeah, and I'm really glad because this we'll get to it, but it is acknowledged that that is going on. But I do like that James Robinson at some point just says, "Yeah, no, I'm not going to deal with this."
Right.
But yeah, so I was going to say the reimagining of all these characters, everyone in the Marvel fan community was just so on board with this, and there was no complaints. But no, I thought it was great at the time. But of course, everything was reimagined again. But for a time, there really was all new, all different stuff happening. Anywho, shall we get into these issues?
Sure.
Okay, so the first issue is drawn by Vanessa Del Rey. This one is fine. It's a typical first issue in my mind.
It's setting up the path.
Exactly. It's setting up the story. We start in New York, and it's a kind of a police procedural where Wanda's helping out. It just sets us up for what's the story going to be? What is Wanda trying to accomplish?
It also establishes like a humorous tone. I
It
think that's
does.
important to the series. There are humorous bits. A lot of it's Agatha, but even in this first issue, again, it's a police procedural. Wanda's called in, right? And the detective she's talking to is like, "How did you know all this? Is it witch magic?" And she's like, "No, I read the newspaper."
Yeah, and I do like th this starts the ongoing joke, I guess, where she says, "I'm Wanda Maximoff," and they go, "Yeah, I know. You're an Avenger. We know who you are. You're wearing
Later,
this."
somebody tells her, "We do have TVs here."
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, so we find out that something's wrong with magic. That's going to be an ongoing theme, as we said, not just this one, but it's also happening in Doctor Strange. And but she needs to figure out what is wrong with magic.
He senses that magic is broken or it's ailing or it's sick because she has to fight a demon. She fights a demon in basically every episode. It's Demon of the Week.
Yeah. Mostly male demons, by the way.
Mostly male demons, yeah, which again, kind of a good point there.
Yes, the metaphors are strong in this one.
What's interesting about this first issue, and I don't want to dwell too much because this is really just plate dressing, right? We're setting the table, table dressing, not plate dressing. And this is one of the things that kind of with these 15 issues kind of gets me a little bit, kind of bugs me a little bit is certain things are introduced and then dropped.
Again, this is the nature of an interconnected universe. It does get picked up a little bit in Doctor Strange. So it does get addressed again, but not here. So there's a lot going on. There's so many allusions to Wanda's trauma, and everything she has to defeat is in some way a little piece of that. Let's just move on. This, like I said, this is a good issue, but it's basically just, like I said, table dressing. It's setting up the story. It's a typical first issue of a comic book. And I think it really starts to kick off and get better in the second issue, which is set in Greece, and it's drawn by Marco Rudy. And it's where Wanda meets Hecate, who is the goddess of magic in Greek mythology. And apparently there's a, well, by the way, first of all, let's just start with the art. Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. All the panels are done in this kind of circular layout with little panels all around, and it's just gorgeous to look at.
And it reminds me a little bit of Kelly Sue DeConnick's Wonder Woman,
Yes, absolutely.
which of course this came way before, but I feel like the Wonder Woman miniseries that Kelly Sue DeConnick did, which was stunning, but took some of this idea, like in how the panels were laid out.
Well, it's, I mean, both are set in, and both have ties to Greece. I mean, is that,
Well, yeah, you know.
So anyway, so it seems as if there is a Minotaur running around in Greece, killing people. So Wanda says that she will help out and defeat the big bad.
And Hecate does acknowledge to Wanda during their tea session that she also senses that there is something wrong with magic. So it's confirmed by an actual goddess of magic. Wanda's like, I'm not crazy.
So she eventually confronts the Minotaur, which turns out to be just someone who has someone has enchanted. Turns out to be Man Bull,
You're
which
right.
is one of the which is
List villain.
yeah. I D-list is giving him a lot of credit. So yeah, so she confronts the Minotaur, removes his enchantment, and it turns out to be just a D-list villain who runs off like a scared little boy.
He's having sads because he lost his powers and he was bigger than he had been, and now he's lesser than he was, which is a theme, that's an ongoing theme.
And then the big reveal is, of course, the person who enchanted him is the Emerald Warlock, Declan Dane. So the male force of magic, who, by the
He's
way, his power
attempting.
is to steal magic
Right.
from others, to steal it from others to save himself. Whereas, and again, this is something that that Wanda talks about, and it's a recurring theme, is that every time you use magic, it damages your hurts your soul, basically.
Unless you're the bad guy,
Unless you're the bad guy because you take it from others.
you take it from others, whereas the good guys take it on themselves. It also, I mean, the Emerald Warlock is also one of his biggest magical powers is just being a douchebag.
Yeah, the Emerald Douchebag is what his name.
But again, the nemesis, at least initially and maybe later, is again it's the male magic force presented as the selfish and egocentric.
The real villain is toxic masculinity.
Yes.
So issue three, Wanda has to go to Ireland.
And of course, who's going to draw Ireland?
We got ourselves Steve Dillon.
Rest in peace.
Yes, old Mr. Steve Dillon, and Chris Visions is also in here as well,
Representing the Witch's Road.
which represented the Witch's Road.
Dylan, Steve Dillon draws Ireland. Chris Visions draws the Witch's Road.
So there's something going on. There's some kind of hex that's been placed over Ireland, and Wanda goes there to investigate, and she comes across, well, first of all, she has to go to a pub because it's Ireland.
This is kind of this is there's serious stuff in this issue, but this is kind of a funny issue.
Yeah, it is
This is kind of a
actually.
funny little chapter.
Yeah, so Wanda has to investigate this, and it turns out it's the oh, how do you say it? The D Danann, the Tula D Danann. Yeah, there's some kind of magical spell placed on this that Wanda has to fix, which she does with aplomb.
Ireland is dying, so all the agriculture. So Ireland is brown. All the agriculture is brown. Everything is brown. The industry is dying. Some force is actively destroying Ireland.
And we find out that that is, in fact, the Emerald Douchebag who
Right.
is doing that. And his plan is to go around and to defeat or just and to kill basically any of the lineage of people who had harmed him in the past.
Right, or his family.
Yes, so all the
Again, we're talking centuries ago. The Emerald Douchebag is actually a centuries-old entity. So this goes
right.
back into deep into it goes into deep Irish history, and possibly one of the most magical places or one of the strongest magical anchors in the world.
It's where the walls are thinnest between us and the magic realm.
Again, I don't want to dwell too long on individual issues because we have a lot, but the humor of it is, so she shows up in the bar and she has, and the bar is called the Fallen Woman, and of course it's called the Fallen Woman, and she comes in and the bar owner immediately is like, oh hell no. Again, it's that what you brought up, it's like she tries to introduce herself and she's like, I know who you are and you're
Yeah.
gonna get the bar blown up. And he's like, you got to get the hell out of here.
Yeah. But the thing is, she lifts the spell so that Ireland is saved, but the bar does in fact get blown up. The
And
pub
there's
does get, yeah.
he's like, my bar. Wonderfully illustrated by Steve Dillon, who as an artist is not anywhere the same as the other artists who are doing this,
Right.
right? I mean, he has a very different style. He's a great, Steve Dillon is one of the great artists, but he is not that florid kind of pretty, Steve Dillon. And so I love the fact that that they use Steve Dillon in this for Ireland because it's appropriate.
And I think all the artists that were chosen for these issues are appropriate for their story that they're telling.
But he is probably the most straightforward artist of all of these. And it's kind of perfect.
And we should point out that the fallen woman, of course, our mind immediately goes to
Other things because
a woman of ill repute, but it's actually a woman who fell in battle.
A great
Interesting.
warrior who fell in battle, yeah.
Exactly. So anyway, in order to figure out what the heck is going on, Wanda decides to walk the witch's road.
With Agatha in tow. It should be noted, I don't know if we mentioned this from the get-go, the ghost of Agatha Harkness is a constant presence in this entire comic.
Yes, she is haunting. She's helping, but also haunting Wanda. Yes.
And Agatha Harkness is, in many cases, the very comedic relief of the entire series. She has very serious moments too, but she gets the best lines.
Absolutely. This issue ends with she and Agatha, Wanda and Agatha walking the witch's road where they encounter the Scarlet Witch.
The Scarlet Witch.
Dun dun dun. Anyway, we get to the next issue, which is Wanda meeting the Scarlet Witch, who turns out to be Natalia Maximoff.
And who is Natalia Maximoff, Paul?
Natalia Maximoff is Wanda's mother. But wait, Wanda's mother is not Natalia. Wait, it's a different Maximoff. No, wait, it's Miss
What the?
America. No, it's a. This gets into what I was saying before. Wanda's backstory has been twisted so many times over the years. But anyway, they meet each other. Wanda and Natalia meet each other, and Wanda's a bit confused. She doesn't know what's going on.
As one would be.
So, yet another mystery, but then they're attacked by a goat. So it turns out that this goat is Declan Dane, Declan Douchebag. He tells his backstory, of course, because he's a villain, and that's what villains are wont to do. But he's draining her of her power. But it turns out, no, it's just the opposite. Wanda is a badass. And while this whole conversation is going, she's slowly shifted from the masculine side of the witch's road to the feminine side, where she has the power.
It's kind of a great moment. It should be noted that when Wanda meets her mom, they chat very briefly. Her mom says she's here to protect her, and then she fades away. And then when we get to the part where the Emerald Douchebag, are we just going to call him that now?
Douchebag.
Right. So what you were saying is so he's giving this long, convoluted history about how his family was done dirty by certain people, and so he had to go kill every single spawn of the people that did him dirty, right? And so he's a blowhard. I mean, he's a windbag. This is one of the great kind of moments where you have the dude just pontificating endlessly about the grievances that they've had in their lives.
And how I'm so put upon, and
Right. And he's
everyone's against me.
going on and on about how he has to like go through all this and now this is he's taking his revenge on the entire country of Ireland. And right back to what you were saying is while he's all being Polonius, Scarlet Witch has actually led him in a different direction.
Exactly. She does say at one point, you do talk a lot. And he says, I am Irish. I thought, okay, that's a good joke.
Except he's not.
Well, you live in a certain place long
You're right.
enough, you become that thing. But anyway, so she defeats him for the moment, and he does announce, "You've never had a nemesis before. Now you do." This series does establish that Wanda Maximoff now does have an archenemy. Hooray!
It's interesting, like again, like when you were talking about, like she leads him to, the goddess realm. And I think that's really important is like the transition between the sort of male realm and the goddess realm and how power works differently there. It's a different exchange of power. The way power is exchanged or held is vastly, Robinson is like making a very strong distinction between how the feminine force and the masculine force works within magic.
And this will come back in the end. But her journey continues. And the next issue, we find ourselves in Spain with art by Javier Pulido.
With some of my favorite art of the entire series.
This is really, really well done. It's very simple.
It's referred to as a codex.
Yeah. And just there's so many things of like the way panels are, characters are just next to each other, but it's actually time has passed. I'm not explaining that well, or movement has happened. It's really cool. It's really
And
cool.
the story is a bit by the numbers in some ways, which is fine. Javier Pulido does like his art on other comics is also great. I mean, I think he's one of the great ones out there.
But in the story, and this is where the cool stuff, it's just cool visually.
It's
Where, yeah, Wanda has to help this group of ghost nuns. The nuns had taken a vow of silence. So Wanda has to go in and she takes her own vow of silence. And it's just wordless panels all the way through of her fighting, learning the history. We learn the history of what happened and the persecution.
The nuns were persecuted during the Inquisition because they were women who were weird.
And because of their veil of silence, they couldn't speak up to defend themselves.
And so they were burned as witches because this was the Inquisition.
But it takes us through of Wanda re basically releasing the souls who are trapped in this nunnery.
Former nunnery, now a vineyard. And the
And
curse on the place was that anybody who used their voice when the vineyard opened up this vault, anybody who used their voice would immediately be cursed. And so there's a great bit about where a priest was br or priests were brought in to exorcise. You know, the whole point of an exorcism is they're using their voice so they don't so they're immediately cursed. So yes, to your point, so Wanda takes her vow of silence, and then you have, I don't know, 10 pages or whatever of just wordless.
beautiful art of her moving through. Yeah, and she doesn't have to speak. She just observes and frees the souls who are trapped there. Absolutely beautiful.
And of course, it starts off with, again, a male priest
Who's not very happy with Wanda.
who's not happy with having a witch. And then the nun who comes, who is like, I still am a bride of Christ, but I recognize. So again, it's that distinction between the male being upset about a female witch and the nun, who is probably more devoted than the priest, accepting of the nun or accepting of the witch.
Yes, absolutely. And it's again the theme of the male immediately trying to seize power.
One of the greatest things at the end of when Wanda finally speaks at the very end of it, when she releases the one nun who is most responsible for all of this, Wanda the witch says, "Go with God."
Yes.
She puts herself into the religion of the nun and recognizes the power of faith. It's actually kind of a touching moment that when Wanda chooses to speak, she uses the sort of Judeo-Christian phrase.
Yes. And this is also again another ongoing theme where Wanda uses she's accepting of all the power. So she uses a Greek hex when she's in Greece. She uses Irish terminology when she's in Ireland. So she's accepting and using it all together. And then at certain times she takes all these things and mixes them together to make things more powerful. She is accepting and absorbing all the different powers and not simply and not trying to separate them.
Can I just say the next issue six,
Yes.
and if I am I stepping on your toes here?
No, let's go for it.
It's really just an issue about impotence.
Yes, my notes say impotent superhero can't get it up.
Right. And that to me is like, I mean, because there's the flying equals sex and no flying equals impotence. I don't think this is a consequential issue.
No, it isn't. So just briefly to run through it. Wanda goes to Paris and she meets the superhero. What is his name? The Falcon. He's Nef.
The Peregrine, or her, she gets corrected because that's what the French do. He his wife dies, and so he couldn't save her, So now, because his mind is attached to his wings, so now he can't make his wings work.
So Wanda uses her power to bring the wife spirit back to basically say, dude, get over yourself. So he immediately tries to kill himself. And she's just like, you're a freaking moron.
Right, because he
Why?
can't get
Just
it up. I
stop.
mean, he can't fly.
Well, he can't get up. He can't get it up. So anyway,
Can't
yeah,
fly.
this is fairly inconsequential, this particular. I thought it was funny
It
myself.
does have one of the best lines
Which is?
when she's talking to him about he's the superhero of France, because he's also a detective and whatever. It's like, and she's like, "Oh, you're the greatest hero in France." And his reply was, "Yes, I'm the best we could do."
Yes, he learns to, I don't know, get over himself and he can get it up again. It's funny. And the art's very pretty, I
Oh
have
yeah,
to admit.
no.
Yeah.
Every issue here, even when the story isn't necessarily great, it's like every issue is wow.
Yeah. And
Visually.
the
The embroidery
wife.
collage.
The wife in this, like the just how her spirit is, it's very 60s kind of psychedelia looking.
Right.
It's very cool. Yeah, did I mention who did the art? Marguerite
Yeah,
Sauvage.
I did. Well, I just did a minute ago.
Okay, yeah. So beautiful, beautiful stuff. Sorry, I meant to shout out all the different artists who do this. So anyway, in issue 7, we go to Hong Kong, drawn by Annie Wu.
Appropriately enough.
Because we meet the Wu.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! This is a character that actually appears in a different guise, different version, but in Agatha all along. So yes, we go to Hong Kong, and so we meet the Wu, Alice, who is a police officer who has a connection to magic, and she uses enchanted bullets.
She's mixed heritage,
Mixed
part
heritage.
Chinese, part British, I think,
Yeah.
right?
And then we get into, and this is I thought was a very cool aspect. So we have the different colors of magic. So you have, but it's not just like Wanda isn't the Red Witch, she's the Scarlet Witch. So it's a little bit different. And you know, he's not the green warlock, he's the Emerald Warlock.
Right.
So yeah, so we get all this, you know, and then there's the Coral Warlock at one point. And
Right.
Coral is, of course, a color, but it's also the name of a main character in The Walking Dead.
It's yes, it's Coral.
Ooh, Coral.
Yeah, no, this is again, this is one of those issues where it kind of feels like it's more introducing a new character, and the end result, the fact that Annie or Alice uses physical materials to beat a magic user because the magic user was expecting magic.
Was protecting himself.
The Dark Tanji was expecting magic, and so the Wu instead used a real bullet.
Yeah, she just shoots him in the heart.
Right. She just went Indiana Jones on him.
And I kind of like the way his reaction was just, oh.
No, wait a minute. What?
Yes. So I like that, you know.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Yeah. You can't stop me. And he's doing all the magic wavy hands and stuff. You're pathetic.
And
And then, oh, I just got shot.
I mean, it's like there's all of these issues. There's a lot of other stuff that goes on. We're glossing over some of it because it's not important to the overall arc, but it is like the Scarlet Witch makes a friend. And I think that's really important. Throughout all of this, she hasn't really made friends. She's created some relationships with a nun or with other people, but here she makes a friend, honest to goodness friend.
Yes, but there's a line in here. Brian, let's go get a drink and we can discuss how I do things differently.
Right. While they do things differently, there is an establishment of a friendship or a connection that is open because the Wu says she needs to learn more about her powers and kind of leaves it open for Wanda to help her.
Yes, but I think you're missing that she's implying something different when she says, I do things differently.
Well, but I let's yeah, we'll dial that back. I know what you're saying, and we'll dial that back a little bit because I don't think that particular tension is really there.
Oh, come
I don't
on.
know
The
if that's intentional.
panels have her, Alice is rubbing her neck. She's looking from side to side. She says, I do things differently.
Well, And you know what? We didn't see the end of that, them having tea together.
Anyway, Alice the Woo is a recurring character. She will show up again in Doctor Strange. That's a thing that happens. But anyway, I like this one. It was fun.
The next one is actually one of my favorite.
Yes, we're back in New York. This
Even though
is,
it's very chatty.
yeah, but it's important because
Oh, yeah. No, no.
yeah.
It's like I said, it's one of my favorites.
Because it's back in New York and it's got this, so the art is by Tula Lote and
You're right.
it's very gritty,
Yeah.
it's because it's New York and it's dark and it's gritty and it's a little dirty. And we have Wanda visiting her therapist and she goes through some therapy sessions.
It's essentially just one long therapy session.
But it's a little bit off because the therapist keeps asking for his payment and
Right,
she
Dr.
pays
Grand.
Dr. Grand. Then we get some backstory. This is where Robinson is doing some really heavy lifting, trying to say, this is all the crazy shit that Wanda's gone through.
And the fact that he was allowed to make a mostly action-free comic
I mean,
that was.
there's a couple of panels, but mostly it's just
Right.
talking. And like I said, just a lot of heavy lifting of this is who she is. This is the really weird stuff that's gone on over the last 30 years of her existence. We get into the high evolutionary and her Romani past and
We get a lot of flashback. We get a lot of backstory.
we go back to the Avengers disassembled storyline. We go back to the No More Mutants storyline. We go back to the kids, Wiccan and Speed and
Right. Dr. Grant calls her out. He says, you're lying to me, you're lying to yourself. And
yes.
he brings up the fact that she's not actively healing. She keeps saying she's going to heal magic, but she's not really doing it. She's just kind of wandering about. She's not really focusing. He brings up, you didn't heal Vision. You didn't heal Simon Williams and Rogue. You haven't been a mother to your children. And he basically, he says, you need to face your past if you want to face yourself. I mean, it's psychology 101. He absolutely rakes her over the coals. Everything that she is doing has been doing wrong. Or what she's not doing while pretending to do it. And he's right. And she acknowledges that finally.
And then he asks for another payment, and then we finally get the penny drop that he's not really a psychologist. He's the ringmaster,
Who's
right?
been manipulating her to get her to steal jewelry to bring him?
But then the next penny drops, and that is Wanda. She knew this was happening, and she hasn't actually been bringing him. She's been manipulating him to make him think that she's actually been bringing him. It's a double bluff.
But then the other penny drops.
And it turns out that she's been letting this happen because he's actually been a pretty good psychologist so far.
He's actually good at what he does.
Yeah, he's been
And
helping
he's
her.
actually been helping her.
Yeah, and he says, now because of what I used to do as being the ringmaster of this crime organization, he had to act as a psychologist to all these other broken villains. So
Right.
he actually learned to be a very good psychologist.
And it's like she thanks him and she tells him that, it's like this is a really interesting narrative thing. He's one of the very few positive male figures in this,
Sort
right?
of.
I mean, he's the ringmaster. I mean, he's been manipulating her, which
Yeah.
is, of course, problematic. But at the end of the day, what he did was helping her. I'm not giving him a pass, but the end of it is kind of nice. He's like, well, I don't suppose you'll let me go. And she's like, no, I can't. But they leave on friendly terms. So the villain, there's a villain, a well-known villain, who helps her. And when they leave, she says, "You really helped me." And he's like, "I'm glad."
He says, I'm glad I did in fact help you. That was not my intention, but I'm glad that I, tangentially helped you.
It's a nice moment because you get, I mean, the ringmaster, of course, probably returns to being the ringmaster. What would be very interesting is if they had followed that through in other comics and showed the Ringmaster changing or becoming different in the Marvel Universe. I don't know if they did. I'm guessing not. Wouldn't it be
Boy.
interesting if the Ringmaster as psychiatrist or psychologist to the superheroes?
Yeah, sort of the way Night Nurse helps them when they're hurt. He could be
Right.
the psychologist to the superheroes.
I mean, that's a really interesting because right, Night Nurse, and I mean, it's like this would have been a very interesting thread to follow. As far as I know, they didn't. I've never seen any
Oh,
evidence.
I have no idea. Probably not. But, you know, go write some fan fiction, Brian.
We get a lot of backstory. We get a lot of exposition. Sometimes I don't love a lot of exposition because it tends to be kind of emo, and this was a bit emo. But at the end of the day, the bad guy actually helped.
And this issue on a meta level, this issue does a great deal of work kind of condensing all of Wanda's backstory into this new version.
And they did it in a few pages.
Yes, which is very well done, I
Which
think.
in the age of deconstruction, that's almost impossible.
Okay, the next issue we come to, and this is what we alluded to in the beginning. This is the one and only issue where it met, where we mentioned Civil War II. This was a crossover series that was happening at the time. As a bit of history, I was reading a whole bunch of these series during the all new, all different run, and when it got to here, I dropped a whole bunch of stuff. I stopped reading things monthly at this point because I wasn't enamored of the Civil War II storyline. That being said, so we have Wanda in her New York apartment, which is mighty nice, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was rent controlled. That's why she can get it. Been around, she's been around for a while. Anywho, she is visited by her brother, Pietro. And Pietro, in typical character form, is a complete asshole.
That's the word I used for him throughout all of my notes here. Just asshole, asshole, asshole.
So he shows up and he's trying to get her to join a side on the Civil War. And she, Wanda says, quite rightfully, I'm Switzerland. I do not want to take a part in this. And he proceeds to belittle her.
The
And
way he speaks to her is awful.
he infantilizes her, and it's awful.
Yeah, it's and at some point he says he misses the meek little flower, and he insults. And this is one of the things that I kind of have an issue with is the constant reference to her as being dumb. Like, I don't know where that comes from necessarily because I don't maybe have the same history of the Scarlet Witch as, but the greatest female magic user in Marvel land,
Arguably more powerful than Strange himself, so.
arguably like more naturally powerful than Doctor Strange, because Doctor Strange had to become the Sorcerer Supreme to get the superpowers, superpowers, right?
Right.
And she inherently has them. It just, and I know what James Robinson is doing here, and he is certainly presenting Pietro as just a complete utter piece of condescending shit, which is his character in
Yes.
general, but the way he speaks to her and the constant condescension, it's hard to read.
It is. It is. And this is a maybe not as overt as this, but she has been treated in the past as the delicate little flower, the kid who needs to be protected. You know, so this is an ongoing way that Wanda has been depicted over the years. And it's bad.
And he doubles down and doubles down and doubles down.
Wanda just says, get the hell out of here, kicks his ass a little bit. He attempts to kill her or subdue her, I guess I'd say. But Wanda stands up to him and says, I never wish to see you again. Get out. And then he, in petulant little boy fashion, says, you won't. I won't see you either.
I mean, Robinson does this right in some ways because he's addressing Civil War II without having to make it about Civil War II, and it's about family.
Well, and then this is a civil war. It's very clever. Little
Right.
civil war within the family. Now, you know, spoiler, it comes back at the end. And I have some thoughts on that. Pietro comes back at the end.
I'm confused by his appearance at the end, but we'll get to that too, as you
Well,
know.
I will discuss when we get there.
Yeah, this issue is what it serves is Wanda saying, "I am not taking this shit any longer." Standing her ground, and again, this is about her reclaiming her power over others, including her own family. So, you know, it's a good issue as far as that goes, but there's really not a lot to say about it other than Wanda puts Pietro in his place. Finally.
Finally, exactly. But this is another step on her journey of independence, which is what this is all about. Next issue. This is a good one. It's issue 10. This is drawn by Kei Zama, and
It's probably my very favorite.
it takes place in yes, takes place in Japan, and it has that very minimal Japanese feel. A magic user in Japan has been killed, and Wanda shows up to find the killer. And
the art, it just, wow.
Yeah, gorgeous.
The use of color, the use of it, just everything about it is phenomenal.
You know, I love it. So the magic user, Kuroshi Tanaka, has been reincarnated into a fox. This is so heartbreaking. I don't know if you felt this sadness.
Heartbreaking was exactly the word I wanted to use.
Yeah, he is in the body of, he's been reincarnated as a fox. He still has his memories, but they're slowly fading and he's becoming an animal.
And it's so it starts with a haiku, but it's this beautiful scene of just a fox walking in snow.
Yes.
And just beautiful, absolutely beautiful art.
Yes, the nimble young fox leaps through the snow and shadow with blood on his lips.
So Hiroshi Tanaka is he's a warlock. Like, it starts with him talking about what he regrets not having done in his life. And he you know, it's a monologue. It's an internal monologue. And then he references, it's like, it's so interesting how when we reach the end of our days, we think about what we haven't done as opposed to what we have done.
Again, heartbreaking.
Yeah. And then so we have a scene where we are given to understand that he is killed, although it's shown off panel. And then Wanda shows up. She didn't know him, but his loss to the magic world, because he was one of the good guys, I guess, right, is so important. So she shows up in Kyoto to investigate. So Wanda's like, the whole thing is like a procedural.
Right. So she's going from place to place. She interviews the police officer who was investigating the crime. He doesn't remember anything. She goes, the ex-lover who doesn't remember anything. She then goes to prison to interview one of his old foes, and he does remember things.
Right. But he also, what is interesting, like with the old foe, is they bring up, all three of them bring up the fact that Tanaka made peace when he retired from being like a warlock. He made peace with all of his enemies, which is a very culturally interesting, I mean, that is in keeping with sort of the concept of Japanese culture. So when she's interviewing these people, it is just the story itself is a procedural where she discovers who the bad guy is. And so what happens is Tanaka did not have an heir. And so this is important going forward to how Wanda was an heir who inherited the magic. Tanaka did not have an heir for which the magic to flow to. Wanda discovers is the bad guy, the Black Bullet, I think was his name, and who only speaks highly of Tanaka, is he had a spell of protection over him in prison, which is why he was able to remember that Tanaka had a manservant.
Yes, Miles Benchley.
Miles Benchley, which of course Wanda then discovers is the one that had Tanaka killed.
Benchley is in league, or allows himself to be possessed by an Oni, which is a demon, Japanese demon. He, by the way, Benchley is a white guy, which I think is funny because Doctor Strange has Wong and Tanaka has Benchley.
And there's one of the references, one of the few references to Doctor Strange is that Wanda says to Benchley, is like, Wong had a manservant, or Wong was Doctor Strange's manservant. So yes, she does reference Doctor Strange at that point.
I think Strange was intentionally left out of this, so as not to intrude on Wanda's story,
which is fair. So she eventually, I mean, Wanda, I mean, again, it's a procedural. She beats the guy, turning the water into purified water, so that because he had absorbed. There's a lot of plot points that aren't necessary.
Well, first of all, the demon comes out, and it's absolutely brilliant. You know, with souls embedded in the stomach of the, you know, that the souls he has eaten.
Right.
So Wanda can't just blast him. She has to purify him, which is, you know, she basically makes holy water, pushes the demon into the water off a bridge.
The biggest thing about this is what we talked about before. And it's like, again, it's a kind of a generic procedural. Nothing wrong with that, because the framing is the fox is following Wanda throughout all of this. And it's the soul of Tanaka in the fox. Throughout it, we keep getting the fox following. And you have Tanaka's panels are in blue and the fox's panels are in orange. And what you see is the conflicting dialogue within the fox's mind.
Right.
From the blue, which is Tanaka, like remembering, he sees his ex-girlfriend and he reacts to that. He talks to Wanda, but then it's intercut with things like wind, cold, I burrow. And throughout the entire issue, it is the slow disintegration of Tanaka's memories until at the end, finally succumbs to being fully the fox and wanders off into the woods.
Yes, but his last thoughts are happy, content. I want to thank, but I don't remember who. Smell rabbit, catch bite, eat. Must be quiet. Brilliant. That's a wonderful issue.
Yeah, it just is, like you said, heartbreaking is really the best word for it. And we've repeated it a few times, but I think it is. And it really is one of my very favorite, wow. And what it shows is, again, it's keeping with thematically magic users, good and bad. You see a different side of how this is presenting another way of, or another representation of a magic user and what happens when magic disappears.
Now we get into the final stretch. Wanda is now going back to Serbia to find her true family. So this next issue is drawn by Layla Del Duca. She beats yet another shithead priest who tries to put up a big blustery fight, but Wanda's reached the end of this crap now. And she basically tears down the entire church and says, "Okay, I don't have time for this. Tell me what's going on."
And this is when we start to get the origin stuff.
He explains about how there was this couple that raised her, but that wasn't her real mother. The real mother was killed by the High Evolutionary. Yeah, so he's melding, Robinson, that is melding all these past backstories and just sort of combining them into one
Right.
and making it this cohesive whole rather than this fragmented thing. So she goes off, Wanda, that is, goes off to try to meet other people that'll give her more and more of her backstory.
The priest sends her to Dasha, who
And
was Natalia's sidekick.
right, her Wong, as it were. And we get this wonderful little page of like just all the different spirits that she fought, that is, Natalia fought over the years. Gotta love that. So then we find out that her aunt is still alive.
The woman who raised her, the
Right, the
woman
woman who she thought was her
that
mother, but it turns out it's her
Natalia
aunt.
thought was, yeah, right. So Dasha gives the whole high evolutionary, and we don't have to go into details. Like the history has collapsed. We get the full story. The fact that her mom, Natalia, dies like trying to reclaim. So it's important to say that the priest sells out Wanda and Pietro to the high evolutionary.
Right. And well, to save himself, he's very cowardly.
Right. But that's important is like, so this, we find out this is the origin reset. The priest sells out the kids to the High
Yes.
Evolutionary. Natalia goes to take on the Knights of Wundagore and the High Evolutionary and is allegedly killed during this. And then the High Evolutionary is touched by this act and then returns Wanda and Pietro to the aunt and uncle, Django and Maria. But I mean, this is kind of important because this is the big origin reset.
Right. And yeah, like I said, they're trying to just combine all those little disparate elements that have been going on for decades, and he's put them all into this nice little cohesive whole Robinson has. It's nice. Then we find out that Maria is still alive, although she is living by herself in seclusion, and Wanda goes off to meet her. And then we get the next issue.
Illustrated by Anna Paolo Martello.
And in this one, we get more backstory.
More origin reset.
More origin reset. We get a little bit more backstory into the origin of Natalia and her time as the Scarlet Witch. And then we get the fact that Django was not a very nice man and tried to use the kids for his own benefit. And then we get this weird thing where Maria is actually possessed by a demon.
We should find out that also here, Wanda finds out that her grandfather was the Scarlet Warlock.
Right. So it's a whole family
Yeah.
lineage coming through here. Now, does that mean that she has both masculine and feminine power within her?
Well,
Is that what
there's
they're trying to allude to that?
possibly a little bit of that.
So then we get this weird ass blobby demon. I'm using a
Right.
tech I'm using a technical term. Weird ass
It's kind
blobby
of like
demon.
it's kind of like the Oni or whatever from the Fox episode issue, Right, where it like brings somebody that brings the people into its body.
And the spirit of Natalia ends up manifesting and helping.
As this Agatha, Agatha shows up.
And Agatha shows up. It was Agatha all along. So the demon is defeated. Maria is exorcised. The demon is gone. And she had been burned in her whole
That's
body.
part of the origin is like Django and Maria were supposedly burned by the villagers lo these many years ago.
But so Maria is healed as a result of this battle with the demon. And now I'm rushing along here. If you want to stop me, please
No,
do.
I mean this is we're speeding at this point, we're speeding along to the climax and then the eventual denouement.
Breakneck speed, we're going here. Wanda realizes that she has to return to the road.
She and Agatha head
She and
out.
Agatha head out. And this, we get into the next issue, drawn by Jonathan Marks. Very inconsequential, but I like this a lot. It starts out with this monster demon fighting these bug-like creatures, and it's just this horrible, horrible. He's gonna kill everybody in this village. And then Wanda steps on him.
Yeah, it turns out that they're in
They're
microscopic.
Yeah, they're just they turns out they're just bugs, and Wanda just happens to step on one of them and goes like, "Ugh, it's on my foot, it's on my shoe." So we find out that they've actually been walking the road for quite a long time, farther than any witch has ever been,
Right.
and it's really taken a toll on Wanda. She
Like
is.
6 to 7 weeks. And there's like, so this is illustrated by Jonathan Marks. There's a long stretch of gorgeously illustrated, but it's just a travel log of Wanda and Agatha traveling along the Witch's Road. So they're
And all
just,
their trials and
trials and
battles
travels,
at the thing, yeah.
single panel things that are kind of, but you see them fighting their way along the Witch's Road. And then we find out that they've been doing this for 6 or 7 weeks. Yes, so Scarlet Witch's powers are depleting along this way.
And at one point, she has reached a point in the road where she has to face her past. All the people, mostly men in her life, who have wanted something from her. Whether it wife, mother, sister, daughter, ally, foe, on and
This is a
on.
very psychedelic. This is done in a really kind of interesting psychedelic. Natalia has returned at this point. So we have the Scarlet Witch, and Agatha. So we have all three, the three of them now are on the road together. And Natalia has informed Wanda that the enemy is chaos.
Chaos is engulfing the great goddess of magic. And in order to get there to help her, Wanda has to defeat all the tr her past trauma.
Right.
So, and she is confronted with visions of all these visions of literally visions.
Literally visions of vision.
Yes, but all her past foes and enemies and friends and people who have always wanted something from her, and she
And
has
all of
to.
the various things, yeah.
And she has to defeat them. And then this wonderful, I think it's wonderful, sequence where she gets engulfed by darkness. She's just covered and covered and covered until she opens her eyes and the darkness is lifted into this bright light. And she is reborn. And we get this wonderful panel, which is it's basically, do you remember the Kirby collages from the
Yeah.
old days? This is reminiscent of that, where she's looking out upon the universe. Just a gorgeous panel to end this issue with. And she is reborn into the light with her mother, and Agatha, the maiden mother crone, are here. So now we get into issue 14.
Yes, and then we get to issue 14, and this is the biggie.
This is the biggie. This is the climax.
Illustrated by or drawn by Sean Crystal.
We have the goddess of magic, this enormous being with a hand for a head, surrounded by this darkness, surrounded by chaos,
Right.
entwined
It's the
through
goddess
chaos.
of all witches.
Right, a goddess of all witches, I should say, not
Right.
magic.
And she's bound by chaos.
She's bound. Yeah, she's this darkness is entwining her. So they have to destroy chaos, and the only way to do it is if they combine their strengths together, mother, maiden, crone. Because individually they are strong, but not strong enough to defeat chaos. Together they
And
are
the idea
strong.
is, remember, Wanda is aging badly. Agatha still manages to make a joke about how Wanda looks older than her now.
Exactly. Of course, Agatha and Natalia are not aging because they're dead.
They're dead. They're
Yeah.
technically, one's a ghost and one is
Well, they're both ghosts. They're both
whatever they are.
spirits. Yeah.
Yeah, there's one's a ghost and one's a spirit. I'm going to make the distinction here. So they're facing this group called the Aimless Ones, which are kind of like the Mindless Ones, only more malevolent. They stay behind to fight the Aimless Ones and send Wanda on ahead to try to save the goddess of all witches. There's a whole bunch of lots of psychedelic kind of crazy ass panels of fight scenes and cosmic things going on, and the Scarlet Witch is aging.
She's
And
almost at her breaking point.
when Agatha and Natalia arrive, Wanda is finally like, "We can't beat chaos alone." That's when they're like, "We need to combine and become the three in one, the crone, the mother, the maiden."
And which is working. However, they need a way to contain their magic and focus it. And that's when Natalia calls upon Pietro.
And this is where you need to help me out here. So I have questions about this.
This is my interpretation. After looking through it a few times and rereading the whole series and seeing the themes that go through it, the purpose of him being there is they need a containment. So he needs to run around in the same way that he ran around her in that issue with the Civil War issue. He runs around her and creates a barrier which keeps everything in. That's essentially what he's doing. He's running around the goddess and the chaos and containing their magic so that it focuses, so that it has more power. So he's
Well,
helping in that way.
I buy your explanation. It's better than the ones I came up with. But all I could figure out is that they call him in. First of all, my question is, why is Pietro allowed on the Witch's Road?
He was specifically called.
So he arrives at like, so my notes are like, sort of like, he arrives and runs around really fast. I understand that a good writer shows doesn't tell, and that's fine. But just as a cursory reading, I see this and I'm just like, the hell is he there for?
Well, I didn't get
What?
it at first. Like I said, didn't get it at first either, but that's my interpretation is that he's creating a containment field for the magic to work. And you notice that he's not as assholery at that point. And it shows that when the masculine force combines with the feminine force without
Without
animosity,
ego.
they forgive each other, they allow each other to flow through one another. That's when things are more powerful. So the masculine force can be detrimental. However, when it allows itself to be open, they can work together, and that's
Okay.
when great things are achieved.
So the message we take is that women can't be complete on their own. They need men to.
No, that's just that men are powerful, women are powerful, but when they combine, they can do anything. All those combined forces, they do defeat chaos. However, the goddess is
Well,
dying.
they don't really defeat chaos. I mean, chaos is eternal.
Well, they
They
remove.
remove chaos from its control of the goddess of magic.
There you go. But the goddess of magic is still dying and needs a new soul to.
Gosh, whoever could that be?
Wanda says she'll do it, but no, she is needed in the world. She still has more to do. So Natalia chooses to sacrifice herself and become the goddess of magic.
And Agatha has a different path to walk.
Natalia becomes now
So,
the embodiment of the goddess of magic. Wanda and Agatha are restored and sent
Agatha is
back to
now
Earth.
Wanda's young and Agatha is alive again
And young.
and young.
But here they are. We're back in New York in the fine little penthouse where they get a little bit of a wind down. Wanda decides that she will look towards the future. And here we get the full redemption arc is complete. And now we get to the last issue drawn by Vanessa Del Rey, putting bookends on this whole series. Wanda must do a bit of an exorcism. I'm going to rush through this one. So there's a demon, and Wanda has to exorcise the demon. It has to do with the Emerald douchebag again. But the thing we need to remember is, or the thing that the big thing is, after this is done, Wanda says it's time to move forward, and we see her sitting with the Avengers, saying, "I'm ready to be an Avenger again."
And particularly, I think most importantly, she's like before we see her in front of all the Avengers, we see her sitting with Vision.
Yes, having a little chat with Vision.
Right. And what we don't realize is Vision is only one of like five, six, seven people. The focus is on Wanda talking to Vision. It goes back to referencing like her relationship with a Vision, which is questioned several times in previous issues. We didn't cover that extensively, but we covered a little bit. And so I think it's really important that it's Wanda talking to Vision,
Yeah,
or what we think
or
is
she,
just.
well, she's focusing upon him, but even though she's talking to everybody, she's kind of focusing it on Vision.
Because what she's showing is also regret, remembering, like going back to the psychologist, going back to the ringmaster, who said, "You never helped Vision." And the psychologist or the ringmaster was like, "That was your husband." And she's like, "Well, but he changed. He became something different."
But you don't just give up on someone because they became different.
Because they change or become something different.
Right.
Right. So, and I think that is really important, showing that the final panel was when she's sitting in front of the entirety of the Avengers and says, "I want to be an Avenger." But the whole page before that is her talking directly to Vision.
So that's it, Brian. That is The Scarlet Witch by James Robinson, the redemption of Wanda.
I think it's a really good series.
Yeah.
Again, visually stunning. Some of the issues are really powerful and really interesting. And again, it's James Robinson who has done some of our favorite comics and also done some of the comics that I hate. So it's weird with him. But what we do, what is done in this comic, and I don't know if it's stuck because I haven't followed the Scarlet Witch going forward. It's my knowledge of where the Scarlet Witch is now and how much this matters to continuity currently. But I feel like this was a good reset because it establishes the feminine force of magic in a way that really separates itself from the masculine force of magic.
And this has to answer that question. Yes, it has continued on. I love this, by the way. I think this is a great series, and it really, hats off to Robinson for taking a character who was fragmented
Right.
and really coalescing everything into one really good story. And one of my biggest problems with Wanda in the past, Scarlet Witch in the past, has always been, what the hell are her powers? What does she do? And
Right.
he just
And
said, she's a witch. She's magic. This is it.
but I think it's cemented that she is not a mutant, that
Yes.
she is not the daughter of Magneto, that her mother, that her lineage comes from magic.
And to answer your question, this does stick. And there's a current run by Steve Orlando, which is very good. So her character is cemented. And then that's her character going forward until somebody undoes it. It's canon until it's not anymore.
Right, then it's Marvel, so they generally tend to be quicker on the trigger to reset.
I think it's different because Marvel does, incremental resets, whereas DC lets it build up and then does a massive,
DC will ride it, ride it, ride it, and then suddenly it gets overwhelming, and then they blow everything up. Whereas Marvel is less likely to blow everything up, but will change everything quickly, and so whichever one is harder to keep track of probably depends on one's interest in the stronger interest in either company.
So anyway, I love this, and I hope you enjoyed it,
Oh
Brian.
yeah, no, very much. I would hope that came through.
I think it did. Everyone out there, highly recommend this. Go give it a read if you haven't, or if nothing else, just look at it because it's a beautiful little piece of something.
Every issue, don't even read a panel if you don't want.
Yeah.
Just open it up and just visually peruse it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And each issue, you're like, oh wow, it's all new, all different, you could say.
And it's not jarring. Like you would think having a different artist on every issue would be jarring.
But this works
That's
thematically because each issue is a different location, is a different, it works thematically within the
right.
story itself.
It's good comics. I very much enjoyed reading it. I had never read it before, so I'm glad that you recommended this. And it really this really kind of hit me well. And I very much enjoyed this. I have quibbles here and there, which I may have mentioned, but at the end of the day, I think the comic book achieved exactly what it meant to achieve, and I think it did it in a beautiful way.
I agree. So, would you like to know what we're doing next time?
I guess that's my clue. So, Paul, normally this would be where I would say what we're reading next that I recommended. But our next episode is our world famous Christmas episode. where we also do our world famous best of list. And we're gonna like have some ho 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 good times. Paul, would you like to tell us what comic book we're gonna read for our very special Christmas episode?
Will do, and this will be released on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day.
In the morning.
In the morning, we are going to be reading The Brave and the Bold, number 148, subtitled How the Mob Stole Christmas.
And who is the special guest star in this?
Batman and Plastic Man. This is a comic book from 1979. It was written by Bob Haney and Joe Staton. Hilarity ensues, Brian.
Oh, this is a good one.
It stretches its premise to the
Yeah.
to breaking point.
Ooh, yeah.
So I think we should have fun with this. Just a single issue, but a lot happens in it for sure.
Yeah. This will be a quick one.
And I look forward to it. I hope it'll be something to unwrap on Christmas morning. You can all sit around the fire and listen to us talk about it.
Yes, because who wouldn't want to spend Christmas with you and I, Paul?
Hey, I spend Christmas with me every year. A tradition. Look forward to Christmas Day in the morning when we will, it'll probably be Christmas Day in the afternoon when I get around to it. And we'll be reading The Brave and the Bold, number 148. Thanks everybody for listening. I hope you enjoyed this. Hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, go to our website, collectiveditionpodcast.com, and leave a comment on this individual episode. But that's it. Until next time, happy holidays and keep reading comics.
And ho ho ho.
You've been listening to The Collected Edition, a comic book podcast. The Collected Edition is a Daddy Elk production. All materials used on the program are copyright their respective copyright holders, and no infringement is intended. If you'd like to give us your feedback, the show can be found online at our website, collectededitionpodcast.com, where comments can be left on individual episodes, or send us an email to comments@collectededitionpodcast.com. The Collected Edition, a comic book podcast, is for entertainment purposes